Well, good morning. I'm excited to preach today because here at Trinity Vineyard on Mother's Day, we like to honor women and the work that women do around here and the impact that you guys have on our church. And as a way to honor and celebrate the women here, I wrote a blessing for you. So this is a blessing for all women of Trinity Vineyard, all ages, all the way down to Zoe. Women of Trinity Vineyard, your leadership and wisdom have led our church into the kingdom and presence of God. May God bless you with an increase of wisdom and increase in power for leadership. Your compassion has softened our hearts and has kept the focus on things that truly matter. May God increase your heart and your ability to pass it on to others. Your beauty is a sunbeam of light within these walls. Your natural beauty is only outshone by the radiance of your spirit. May God overload you with his Holy Spirit so that you shine like stars in the universe. Your passion for Jesus is contagious and convicting. May God multiply your passion and grant you the bravery and boldness to live it out. Your acts of service heal and maintain our church, our homes, our families, and our souls. May God preserve and keep you and shine his light on you as you serve others. Your zest for life is the lifeblood of this church. May God grant you lives of unspeakable joy and love. Women of Trinity Vineyard, each of you has earned the right to say, "I am a woman follower of the Lion of Judah. Hear me roar." So I want to honor women. Thank you. And you may think, well, maybe Nate's kind of a feminist here. And I won't deny that statement, but I think I'm something bigger than that. And where a feminist wants to empower women, I'm a soulist. I want to empower anybody that has a soul. So if you have a soul, I want to empower you. I want you to feel that power, the power that comes from God. And that's why I love our mission statement here. It's empowering eternally significant lives. And it's simple for a reason, that we don't have caveats, we don't have hoops to jump through, we don't have prerequisites. It's, if you have a soul, we want, our mission is to be empowering you. That's everybody. That's our mission. We want to be empowering eternally significant lives. And so often when we look at Jesus, we want to model after Jesus, we kind of separate Jesus out. And we say, well, men, you should have the leadership of Jesus and the boldness of Jesus. And women, you should be over here and have the compassion of Jesus and have the nurturing aspect of Jesus. And the fact is that Jesus is the role model for all of us. And we should all be striving for all of it. And that's the power of Jesus, and that's the paradox of Jesus, is that he was both and. So don't limit yourself to think that, oh, I only want this aspect of who Jesus was. You want it all. And so as men, we want to have that compassion and nurturing aspect of Jesus, and as women, you should be desiring the leadership and boldness of Jesus. We want it all. That if we want to be doing the things that Jesus was doing, we need all of it. We need all the aspects. We want to be striving for all of it. That we want to be fully following Jesus, not just following Jesus in part. Now, as we are talking about empowering, this kind of brings us back to our sermon series. We've been looking at the Epistle of Jude. And for the last 4 weeks, Jeff has been talking about one half of a verse that we've really been kind of focusing on this. And this is verse 20 of Jude. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith." But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith. Now, Jeff spent 4 weeks looking at that most holy faith part of it. And when you boil it all down, the most holy faith is Jesus. That Jesus is supreme overall. Jesus is bigger than anything else. Jesus has power over sin and death and over disease and over physical illness. That it's Jesus. And that short, simple creed, Jesus is Lord. That's the most holy faith. So since Jeff did such a great job explaining that, I'm going to take a look at another aspect of this verse, and that word building. Building yourselves up in the most holy faith. And when you read the Bible, things are there for a reason, and words are used for a reason. And sometimes we don't pick up on that, or we kind of gloss over that. But this word building is here for a reason, and that it has some connotations. It has some meaning behind it, just besides just the meaning of the word. So we're going to take a little bit of that today, and that kind of brings us all the way back to Genesis, and Genesis chapter 11. This is the story of the Tower of Babel. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is the only beginning of what they will do, and nothing they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they may not understand another speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. And so you have this mentality of, we're going to build this city, and we're going to build this tower to make a name for ourselves. We're going to build it up to heavens, basically saying, we don't need God. We're going to do it on our own. And things haven't changed very much, have they? That we still have people and still cities and countries that want to have the tallest building, or companies that want to have their name plastered on the side of huge buildings and billboards. That idea of we can make it on our own, we can make a name for ourselves. We don't need God to do it. And so there's this idea of building that has a connotation of pride, has a connotation of, I'm going to do it without God. We can also think of the Israelites when they're enslaved in Egypt. And when they're in Egypt, they were making bricks. Bricks that were made to make buildings or make monuments. And so we know from Egyptian history that a lot of the buildings they had were to honor their pharaohs. And it was placing pharaohs on the same level of gods. And so we have that same aspect of ego, that I'm going to do it on my own. I'm my own God, or this person is our God. And you'd think the Israelites would have learned their lesson when they get out of Egypt. But they fall into that same pattern, that they're in the wilderness. And they say, let's make ourselves our own God. And so they gather the gold and they build a golden calf, saying, we're going to do it on our own. God, we don't need you. We're going to make our own God. And so again, it's that building is something that's separate from God. We're going to do it on our own. We don't need God anymore. And then you have the Israelites when they get out of the wilderness, they go into the land of Canaan, and they conquer that land, and they create a nation. And the history of the nation of Israel gets summed up in this cycle of them following the Lord, and then they start to fade away. And then they start building up idols. Idols to Baal and Asherah, and they start serving those gods. And then God sends an enemy or sends a famine or something like that, and the people remember, oh, we want to be following Yahweh. So they get back to following Yahweh, and then that same cycle happens again, where they fade away, they build up idols. This idea of building, of being separate from God, of an ego and pride that we can do it on our own. And then that cycle ends when the people of Israel are taken away into captivity. And here's the first couple verses in Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Now, if you remember, I said that there's details in the Bible that we tend to gloss over. We don't realize we miss something. So if you remember when I was reading the passage of the Tower of Babel, where did that happen? In the plains of Shinar. And then again, you have the city of Babylon. That's in Shinar. And so you have the empire of Babylon, the city of Babylon, that is kind of the culmination of the Tower of Babel. It's in the same place. That original tower, original city didn't get completed because of what God did to confuse the language, but that same mentality led that to completion. And so you have this city and empire of Babylon that has these great big buildings, and one of the seven wonders of the world was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the extravagance of the city that they built. And we have here in this passage that the vessels that were from the temple were taken away to be with the kind of the vessels of the other gods. So again and again, we see building being an affront to God. Now, the only times that the times where we see it actually work out, where somebody builds something and it works out and it's good, is when God commands it. So you see Noah building the ark, that God commanded it and gave very specific instructions, or when he gave the instructions, or God gave the instructions on how to build a tabernacle, how to build a temple. Those things were good. But when people were trying to do things without God on their own, building had this connotation of ego and oppression. So that brings us to Jesus. And what Jesus normally does is he takes themes of the Old Testament and he breaks them. He takes curses from the Old Testament, he breaks them. He takes connotations from the Old Testament and flips them on their head. Now, we tend to think of Jesus as a preacher, and we tend to really focus on his preaching side of it, but he didn't start doing that until he was 30 years old. Well, what was he doing before that? What was he doing before that? We know from the scriptures that he had a job, that he worked his job. And the Greek word there is tekton, is what that was his profession. Now, we usually translate that as carpenter. And we tend to think of Jesus making tables and chairs and things like that. Well, he wasn't making tables and chairs because people at the time didn't eat off tables and chairs like we do. And that Greek word tekton is a little more general than just carpenter. A better translation would be a builder. That Jesus was a builder. And we know from the history of that time that there wasn't much wood around. There wasn't much working with wood. That it's very likely that Jesus worked with stone. And so when you think about Jesus, we tend to have this picture in our mind of this good-looking guy who's, you know, pretty pale, has very delicate features, you know, really, really thin. Do you think a guy like that was working out 20 years of life, you know, carrying stone back and forth? That the picture of Jesus is probably of that of a worker who's tan from be working outside in the sun all day long. Who's got big, strong hands and may have, you know, be a little bit muscular from carrying stone around. He's got scars and he has calluses and maybe his hands and features are a little mangled because of the work that he did. That Jesus was a worker. And he was a builder. And that's why when he came back to his hometown, when he started preaching, these people were like astonished. They said, isn't this the builder? I, you know, a couple years ago, I saw this guy carrying stone around, and now he's preaching and doing all these things. That's why they were so surprised. That Jesus did a lot with stone and was building buildings and was maybe building aqueducts or whatever he was doing. But he spent a lot of his adult life doing that before he was preaching. And so in a very similar way, when Jesus has disciples that were fishermen, what does he say to them? He says, you were fishers, you have fish. Now I'm going to make you fishers of people. And in the very same way, Jesus was a builder, and maybe a builder of homes or whatever, and then became a builder of human beings. That he started building people up, building them up physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That he became a builder of human beings. And when he does that, when Jesus starts building up human beings, he does that in the opposite manner of the connotation of the Old Testament. That instead of being something that's apart from God, instead of being something that is saying, God, I don't need you, Jesus is saying, I'm telling you what the Father is telling me. I'm doing what the Father is doing. And that it's always pointing back to the Father. It's always pointing back to God. And where there's ego and pride in some of the Tower of Babel and Babylon, Jesus is humble. He's a servant. And so he breaks that connotation. It's something different now. The building has something different with it. And before he was betrayed and crucified, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And I said, well, some people say you're John the Baptist. Other people say you're Elijah or Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. And Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, it wasn't from flesh and blood that you know this, but it was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And then Jesus says, and you are Peter, and on that rock I build my church. So you have Jesus being a builder of human beings, and then a builder of his church. That Jesus is building his church. And he builds it on what Peter said, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's kind of the earliest and the simplest of all our creeds. That we have some longer ones, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. But the simplest creed is that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Christ, and he's the Son of living God. And that brings us back to that is the most holy faith. So you have Jesus saying, I'm going to build my church on this faith. And you have Jude, who's then saying that same thing. Be building each other up in that most holy faith. So we have that command from Jude to be builders, to be building each other up. That's our job. That's what we need to be doing now. That Jesus was building up human beings, and that's our job, to be building people up and to be building God's church up. That we want to be empowering one another. That means sacrificing for one another, means loving one another, means showing grace, means going out of our way for one another. That means recognizing the skills and talents of other people and encouraging that. Creating opportunities for other people to grow. That's our job. That Jesus started that, being a builder, and now we're on his work team to be building that up. That the job description of the evil one is that of to steal, kill, and destroy. And so our job description is the exact opposite. The exact opposite. We want to restore. We want to heal. We want to build. And one of the things we want to build is family. That we want to build each other up in our family. So we want to start with ourselves. We want to build each other up. We want to build ourselves up. We want to build our family up. We want to build our church up. So this morning, take that challenge of Jude. Take that command from Jude. Start building each other up. There's an element of honor that goes in that, of honoring other people. That today is a day of honoring mothers and of women. And we need to be doing that all the time. We need to be honoring people all the time. We need to be building people up, encouraging, thanking them. That days like today should be happening all the time. Be building each other up. And that when we do that, that's when we make impact for the kingdom. That's when lives get changed. That's when communities get changed. That any one of us could just kind of take it on ourselves, and we're just going to do it, and we're kind of out there on our own. But how much more impact will you have if you start building each other up around you? That's what a church is building people up around you, of encouraging one another, of empowering one another, that getting everyone around you in this family of a church on the same page, moving people forward and further in that most holy faith, further in the faith that Jesus is Lord, and further into what God's kingdom has for us. So this morning, follow Jesus as a builder and start being builders of people here. Please rise. What I want to do now is I want to just pray a blessing just to kind of build you up as a congregation, build you up as individuals, and just pray for God's Holy Spirit to fill you up. And to help facilitate that, I would just ask that each one of you just kind of hold your hands out just in a stance of receiving. And then in some ways, what we do with our hands and with our body opens up our spirit and opens up our mind. So be open up in your spirit and your mind. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to come. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would start building us up with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, continue your work of building the church here at Trinity Vineyard. Build your church here. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to restore us, to renew us, to send fear away, to send despair away, and bring power and boldness. Lord, fill this place with who you are, and let us feel that presence, the presence of the Holy One. Jesus, we celebrate the fact that you are the Christ, that you are the Son of living God. Lord, let us live in that most holy faith, and let us be built up in that most holy faith, and build each other up in that most holy faith. Lord, let us honor you, and let us honor one another in how we live our lives. Let us leave today being filled up with your Holy Spirit and be living in that promise of new creation that only comes from you. What I want to do now is kind of transition from kind of being filled up to praying for other people being filled up. And the way I want to start that is just kind of transition to your hands being up here. And just pray that God kind of highlights a person, a group, for you to pray for, to pray for, just be for building them up, for empowering that person or that group. So just pray to God, and He's going to put something on your heart, and just pray for that person or pray for that group. I'm just going to give you a minute to do that now.